Thank you so much for joining us for today's message. We are always encouraged to know that God is touching lives all around the world through what He is doing right here in New Albany, Indiana. If you have a story about what God is doing in your life, please send an email to amen@hillsidechurch.us. Also, if you'd like to support this ministry financially, you can do so online or through text so we can continue to bring messages just like this one to you each week. Find out more by visiting hillsidechurch.us.
All right, well, good morning again. It is good to see you. We are continuing our series, Who is God? Who is God? We believe God can be known. Not only do we believe God can be known, we truly believe God can be experienced. And he's not distant. He's not far off, but over and over we can see through Scripture God revealing Himself. And I don't know if you've ever had some of the deeper thoughts on life, and obviously, you know, it can be easy to step in to a belief system of sorts, but every once in a while you have to journey through life and things don't go your way. And you can get distracted, you maybe can find yourself a little disappointed, and you might find yourself needing to know who is God. If we were to hop online and Google that question, you would find, I'm quite sure, over a billion different answers and all sorts of ideas, all sorts of thoughts, all sorts of opinions on who is God. And so one of the things we wanted to do this year, I wanted to do specifically this month, was look at how God revealed Himself through the Scriptures. And for us as Christians, for us as Christ followers, we start with Jesus. But through and because of Jesus, we get invited into this amazing story that's been taking place. And you'll find it from page one of your Bible all the way to the last page of what's called the book of Revelation. You will see the story of God and really for the people, life with God. And in some instances, people experiencing life without God. And so in the Old Testament, where we've been spending our time during this series, we look at some of the names of God. Now, names are important, right? In the Old Testament, very, very important. And specifically, they revealed nature. They revealed the nature. So when somebody would say their name, you would get a bit of an idea of who they are. For example, if you were, you know, several thousand years ago, if you were out in the desert and came across one of our ancient of faith leaders named Jacob, you would want to hide your money, your family, and everybody, because Jacob means deceiver. So you'd walk up and say, hey, I'm Paul, which by the way means humble, borderline model, good looking. All right. And so I would introduce, hey, I'm Paul, and he would say, I'm Jacob, and I would immediately have kind of a little tension in the room because his name simply means deceiver. So thank God he changed his name. But part of that process is people would be given names, and if you would study the life of Jacob, you would see he was a bit of what's called a trickster or a deceiver. Well, not only for human beings and some of the leaders of the faith and some of the people in the story of the faith were they given names, but God Himself was given names and would reveal Himself through names. And every time a name was given, I want you to get this picture in your mind, it was like a door was opened to His nature. And it's not that God has multiple personalities, right? It's not that He has multiple personalities, but what I like to say is there are some distinctives to who God is. And there are some things that happen or have happened on earth that God set in place and God set in order. And there are things that I believe, as Solomon would write in Ecclesiastes, that God has set eternity in the hearts of humankind or the hearts of humanity. And there's some things that can only be experienced as we grow in our knowledge of who God is and who God is on our behalf. And so if you were with us last week, how many of you just loved that message preached by Mitch? What an incredible word. Incredible. Some of you are a little up in the air. It's a good word. All right, it's a good word, all right? All right, we won't let that applause-o-meter share with you how good the word was. It was an incredible message, and if you remember the name that Mitch preached on and what he shared, and some very personal stories involved in that message, but Mitch got to experience what you and I have the opportunity to experience, and that is God in his nature. And we learned about Jehovah Shalom. Now, it's a little strange to walk around saying, do you know Jehovah Shalom? I don't recommend doing that. But it is important in our journey with God and our relationship with God that we do begin to discover some of the deeper nature of who God is. Because the three-letter word, G-O-D, can be a bit minimalistic. It can be a bit simplistic to our faith. But when we experience or when we step into this name, Jehovah Shalom, which means God, my peace. How many of you know we're in a world that needs the peace of God? I have a life that needs the peace of God. And as Mitch shared last week, some of his own personal anxiety, when it met God and the peace from God, it had to, if you will, bow its knee to the nature and the love of God for us. And so we've been tracking with that a couple weeks before that. We talked about Jehovah Jireh, God, my provider. And we kicked off the series with the name Elohim, which is our creator God. Well, today we're going to be talking about the name Jehovah Rapha. And Jehovah Rapha simply means God, my healer, or God, the healer. And I would say there's probably, with every name of God, there can sometimes, when we hear a name of God, we also must recognize that with every name, there's a need for us as human beings. There's a need. So last week, Jehovah Shalom, right? God, my peace. Well, we know we can be people prone to unrest. We can be people prone to anxiety. We can be people prone to fear. Well, 2 weeks again, like I said, Jehovah Jireh. How many of you know we can find ourselves in need? And with Jehovah Rapha, just to jump into it, we are a people in need of healing. We are a people in need of healing. And we see all throughout the Old Testament, as well as in the New Testament through Jesus, that God is the healer. And I was tempted with a subject matter. When you're talking about Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah, or God the healer, there's multiple different highways of thought to go down. There are multiple different routes to kind of preach on and teach on. But I'm going to stay the course in simply revealing God's nature and who God wants to be for you. And I may invite you, you may need to, in this message and in this particular area of relationship with God, you may need to do a few things. You may need to shake off disappointment. You may need to shake off discouragement. And you may need to shake off disillusionment. You know, sometimes in your journey with God, you got to shake some things off. That may not sound very spiritual, but there's no other way to say it. That there are moments that as we grow in our knowledge and grow in our relationship with God, we also have to be willing to put some things aside. And depending on your length of journey with Christ and your length of journey with God, I want to encourage you, guard against those three things: disappointment, distraction, and disillusionment. Guard against those three things, because if we're not careful, we can harbor a disappointment and we stop growing on that disappointment. But that's a message for another time. Today, Jehovah Rapha, God, our healer. If you have your Bibles, please turn to Exodus in chapter 15, and we'll look at verses 22 through 26. And we'll look specifically where God's name, this name for God, is revealed, all right? Exodus 15, 22 through 26, and you can follow along on the screens. It says, Moses led Israel from the Red Sea, and they went into the desert of Shur. For 3 days they traveled in the desert without finding water. When they came to Marah, they could not drink its water because it was bitter. That is why the place is called Marah. All right, I told you names mean something. Marah means, you guessed it, bitter. All right. So the people grumbled against Moses, saying, "What are we to drink?" Then Moses cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a piece of wood. He threw it into the water, and the water became fit to drink. There the Lord issued a ruling and instruction for them and put them to the test. He said, if you listen carefully to the Lord your God and do what is right in his eyes, if you pay attention to his commands and keep all his decrees, I will not bring on you any of the diseases I brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. When you see, I am the Lord who heals you, that phrase is Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals. The word Rapha, all right, this is what I just call kind of a compound word. You've got Jehovah on one hand, and then you have what's called an adjective on the other, being Rapha. Rapha simply means to restore, to heal, to cure, or it was a title given for a physician, not only in the physical sense, but in the moral and spiritual sense also. I want you to think about that. The Lord who heals. I want you to step into this knowledge today. God heals humanity. God is the healer. One of the fascinating points of this passage, yes, we get this name and this title, but are you aware, are you looking at what Moses did in his journey with God? He always went to God. He was leading over 1 million people. How many of you know? Like, I have a 7-year-old and a 3-year-old. Our house shuts down when they're thirsty. I mean, it's like, we can't think. Like, nothing gets me to a exit ramp quicker on vacation than I'm thirsty, because I'm thirsty boils over into, Dad, you've got 5 minutes before I melt down. You better get me some water. That's how I interpret it. How many of you know, if you have over 1 million people, there's some crazy going on. And it had been 3 days, I want you to think about it, 3 days without water. 3 whole days without water, and they are thirsty. And they find themselves coming upon this amazing opportunity, this amazing source of water, only to drink the water and find out it's bitter. What a letdown. What absolute disillusionment and disappointment. And these people grumble and complain, and I'm in the mix right there with them, and they go straight to Moses. And what does Moses do? Moses goes straight to God. God gives him a clear answer. Moses obeys, and what happens? The water becomes sweet, if you will, to drink. And everyone drinks there. Well, what's ironic is that actually wasn't the telling of the name. This is just the context for where the name came. But after that moment, I believe God is sharing with them the promise of his will and his purpose and his plans over them. That is why he tells them, listen, you have nothing to fear. You will not be forsaken. You will not be left alone. You will not have to go at things in your own strength, but I will meet you every step of the way. We see that he calls himself Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals. I love this identity in God and this name of God, because I think it's just such an example of where we should run, how we should run, where we can go for our healing, whether that be physical, whether that be emotional, or the most important, whether that be spiritual. God is the healer. In Psalm chapter 103, verse 3, this isn't going to pop up, but I encourage you to spend some time in it. Spend some time thinking about this verse this week. It says this. Psalm 103 is the bless the Lord, O my soul, ... And in verse 3, it makes this statement. Who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases. It's the nature of God towards you and me. It's the nature of God towards you and me. And here's what I want to say. You can hear my words this morning, and you will be inspired, hopefully. You'll be encouraged, hopefully. And you will also be equipped. But here's the thing. Only you get the privilege of living out your journey with God. Only you get the privilege of living out your relationship with God. And here's why I say that. God revealed himself to his people. God revealed himself to his people. And so we can take the picture from Scripture. We can take the truth of Scripture. We can take the reality of Scripture. But can I be honest with you? You and I have to wrestle to the ground the truth of it over our lives. You and I have to wrestle that out. And here's the beautiful thing. There are plenty of instances in life where we get to wrestle with the nature of God. There's moments of surprises, of circumstances we never saw coming or never thought were coming. The beautiful thing is, every one of those instances is an opportunity for us to experience God in his nature and to know him in a greater level of intimacy. And so I want to kick off just with three simple thoughts. These won't actually come up, but you can write them down. They're pretty simple. The first is this: humanity is in need of healing. I know this is going to sound like a no-brainer. You're like, all right, thanks a lot, Captain Obvious. But it's true. Humanity is in need of healing. I am in need of healing. I am in need of healing. I think the first place of healing for you and I is our spiritual condition. I think the first and most important place of healing is our spiritual condition. 100%. And we can take it for granted in our life, can't we? But have you ever been in such a place that you remember your life before Christ, your BC time, who you were before Jesus? And then when Jesus came in, he remarkably, as only he can do, transformed our spiritual condition from sinner to saint. The forgiveness and the mercy and the victory of Jesus Christ on the cross, it healed a very real need for our life. And I think, as I said last week, you need to know something. We only will experience the nature of God when we find ourselves in need. And that's a beautiful thing. But our culture does not like us living in need. Our culture likes us living in excess. We will hear or be shown over 3,000 different advertisements today. You're welcome for that statistic. You will be shown or revealed over 3,000. You will go to read an article online, and within that article, there are probably 10 different advertisements. And what are those advertisements creating in you? A need. I didn't know I needed a new puppy until this new puppy showed up on my, you know. I didn't know we needed a new car. We just got a new car, but now we need another new car because there's this, you know, sale going on. And what is that? That creates a need within us. Well, can I tell you this? It's good for us in the spiritual sense to recognize and never lose sight that we are a people in need. It's a beautiful part of our relationship with God. And so the grand story here is the nation of Israel, the people of Israel, were in need. Here's the problem. They didn't know they had the source of everything they needed in their midst. Their faith was consumed by their fear and anxiety and their circumstances. And they found themselves in a low point, murmuring, grumbling, complaining. Look at this. 3 days. 3 days. 72 hours after the Red Sea was parted. Well, what a shout out to my fickle heart at times. And so what do we have to do? We have to recognize our need, and we can take it out of the playbook of Israel. We recognize the need, but also maintain the hope that the all-sufficient one is in our very midst. And everything we need is found in God, and it's his nature to give of himself towards us. And so healing is a very real place we find ourselves in need. But I would say this, hear me say this first. Physical healing, I believe God heals 100%. It's not a question for me. I know that he does. If you're sick, I'll tell you how I tackle connection cards. Heal, heal, heal. That's how I pray. I don't say that haphazardly. I don't say I'm not 100% batting average when it comes to healing. But I believe God heals. It's part of his nature towards us. But I believe before we even get to physically, we have to recognize our spiritual condition is in need of healing. And so the sin, if you will, the sin condition of our humanity must recognize, we must become aware of it, and then what? Receive the healing, the forgiveness, the mercy, the generosity of God's love towards our heart. But there's a second area, and this wasn't even coming up in my study time, but I felt it earlier today, or I just sensed it earlier today. You also need to hear this. If you are in relationship with God, and you have had what I call kind of, you know, that salvation experience, that born-again moment, where you've been transformed by the love of God, recognizing his victory on the cross that abolished and took care of all of our sin. If you've recognized all of that, you also know there is still healing needed for your life. There is what I call the soul part of who we are. It's something that's, I would say, come on cultural radar over the last 2-3 decades. But I would say there are moments in life where you need the emotional healing that comes from God. You may not want to go there. It's cool. We'll just spend a minute there. Time me. But the emotional healing that is found in God. Jesus said, when he left us, he said, it's to my advantage that I go, because I'll send the Holy Spirit. And here's one of the aspects of the Holy Spirit. He is the comforter. And he comforts your soul. He needs to be the source of comfort for your soul. He needs to be the source of healing for your soul. There are past hang-ups. There are past hurts. There are past pains. And let this be known, all y'all and me carry them in life. Life can be brutal at times. But can I tell you something? There is healing in God. There is healing through Jesus Christ. It's not just knowledge we have in our mind, but it's an opportunity for our heart to experience. Just 2 days ago, I like to call these healing moments of our souls Holy Spirit sneak attacks. You ever had a Holy Spirit sneak attack? I wasn't planning on it. I was actually just in a bit of chaos. Well, I won't say chaos, but our two girls were running around, and when they see Dad running around, or I wasn't running around, they were running around. And they think I'm a standing jungle gym. And so they're hanging on me and jumping around. And I sent them, I said, hey, go get ready. Go get dressed. And I got on our TV. I just got on some YouTube. And I put on some worship music. And I wasn't even looking for this moment. But I just was enjoying the song. It's a song that's just come out. And I've really been enjoying it. I just started listening to the words of the song. And just it was like, if you understand this term, the anointing just kind of came and healed a part of my soul. Just kind of reminded me of God's faithfulness, of God's goodness, of his steadfast love towards us. And those moments are sacred. Those moments are sacred for our walk with God, because those moments bring heaven to earth. We step from the pain that we may or may not be aware of and step into the healing that comes from God and his life within us. So we see humanity is in need of healing. Yes, spiritually, yes, emotionally, and I would say as well, physically. And we are a church, I'm a pastor who doesn't believe that's stopped. God still heals today. We have seen miracles happen in our day and age. And it's remarkable. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing when God reveals himself in that way. Secondly here, Jehovah Rapha, okay, this I've kind of been here for a moment, but Jehovah Rapha is revealed in the Old Testament. When God reveals himself in the Old Testament, it is as Jehovah Rapha. And so if you're taking notes, let me put a couple stories and a couple pieces of scripture in your hand. Jeremiah 30, verse 17, we see this name come out. It says, "For I will restore health unto you, and I will heal you of your wounds, saith Jehovah," and again, Rapha. And what he's talking about in this moment, if I can be honest, isn't physical. It's actually the condition of our soul and the healing that needs to come from God. See, we want to be people who allow ourselves to be healed by God's goodness, to allow ourselves to be healed by God's mercy, to be healed by God's peace. If you're kind of digging what I'm saying, I encourage you. This is totally for free. You don't have to pay me for this information. But I want you to look up. She is an author and a doctor and a whole bunch of other things. An amazing lady. She happens to be South African. Just saying. And her name is Carolyn Leaf. And she documents the spiritual reality of people being healed from the inside out. It's remarkable. She's worked in South Africa with AIDS patients and things I won't even bring up here, people who have had the most severe kinds of abuse. And she tracks with them and talks about how their relationship with God began to transform not only their inside, but it began to work out into their external lives. It's remarkable to read about and to learn about. And what do we recognize in that? We recognize God's nature being revealed to a people in need. It's a beautiful picture. And we see in the Old Testament this over and over again. Again, this name, this term comes up over 60 to 70 times in the Old Testament alone. You can read stories that are maybe familiar for you, depending on a bit of your background, but the story of Naaman, a king of Syria, and his healing. He had just a strange, remarkable kind of test. And a servant girl said, "Man, you need to see the prophet in Israel." The prophet in Israel said, "Yeah, just go down and dunk yourself 7 times and you'll be healed." It's a remarkable story. But we see this take place not only with Naaman, but another king, King Hezekiah of Israel. We see that God visited him, healed him, and extended his life by 15 years. It's remarkable. Oftentimes it's unexplainable. But every time we see two things at play: humanity's need and God's willingness to meet that need. And so if you're in here today with the need of healing, whether it be spiritual, whether it be emotional, whether it be physical, you need to know that God meets our needs. God comes to us. God is a faithful, faithful God. And finally here, this third thought is that Jesus is revealed to us in the New Testament. Jesus is Jehovah Rapha, if you will, in the New Testament. We see Jesus' ministry time and time again, him healing people. In fact, at the beginning of his ministry, so after his 30 years, when he was at that age to be what's called a rabbi and go and teach and preach, Jesus made this statement in Luke chapter 4. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me. He has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Luke 4, 18 through 19. One of my personal favorite passages, Matthew chapter 9, 13. Listen to the heart of God in this verse. Jesus was being accused of having lunch and dinner and hanging out with tax collectors and sinners. The religious leaders were frustrated as a quote-unquote man of God, and even as one who saw himself, and as we know, as the Son of the living God. He should not have been associating with them. And in Matthew 9, verse 13, Jesus makes this statement: "I've not come to call the righteous, but sinners." He said, "It's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick." And I pray that that would be your encouragement and your inspiration, if you will, this morning, that you would step into the knowledge and the grace and the mercy and the goodness of God over our lives. That God wants to reveal himself in these ways. And so if you find yourself in need, I encourage you, like Moses did, right? He went to the source of all he needed. He went to the source of who he needed. We live, listen to me just for a moment, we live in a culture satisfied with secondhand Jesus. Do you know secondhand Jesus? I hope you never meet him, but if you do, I hope he's just for a season. But secondhand Jesus is living off of the crumbs of my experience with Christ. It's living off the crumbs of the latest Bible study. It's living off the crumbs of the latest podcast. Those are all vital for your Christian walk. Those are all pivotal for your relationship with Christ. Don't mishear me, but can I tell you something? That's secondhand. What about you and God? What about your relationship with God? What about this past month? We've talked about the names of God. Have you spent some time, have you leaned in during the weeks between Sundays to say, God, would you reveal yourself to me in that way? Because here's what I want to say. When those moments happen, when those levels of relationship begin to take place, can I tell you, it strengthens your walk with Christ. And it transforms your entire way of living. Because you now know who God is. You know, I remember the movie Walk the Line. Any Johnny Cash fans here? Evidently not. Okay, sounds good. Well, let me change the story then. No, but there's a moment in Walk the Line in the movies, Johnny Cash is talking. He's written some cover songs. He's been singing some hymns. And this guy that's producing him for, I think it's whatever record label in Memphis, the guy's looking at him in the studio, and he says, you know, you guys sound good. You have a unique voice. But he looked at him, and he's just like, but I don't believe a word you're singing. He just looked at him. He's like, you're just faking it. I don't believe a word you're singing. And can I tell you, in our spiritual journey, you know what my heart is for you? That you would believe every word you're singing. That you wouldn't be singing somebody else's song, but that God would write his song on the tablet of your heart. That God would begin to move in your midst like I know he's moving in my midst. I mean, I think that's the heart of a healthy pastor, is that you would step in. And that's why we've done this series. We haven't done this series because we didn't know what else to preach on. We didn't do this series because I was like, man, what am I going to talk on? You know, I don't have a plan. No, God knows. Unfortunately, I always have a plan. But God was like, I want you to share my names. Because my names reveal my nature. And if people step in to a relationship where they know my nature towards them, it will go from one level to the next level to the next level. Amen. That's my prayer this morning, is that we would be people who know God in the way Jesus asked we'd know God. And he said that we would be one with the Father. We'd be in unity with the Father. So let's end with a moment of prayer, and I want to let you know I'm specifically praying over two areas. Our prayer team will be available at the end of service. I want you to hear this just for a moment, if you'll give me your eyes, just for a moment. If you need physical healing, I want to relinquish that moment to our prayer team at the end of service. Now, they're available not just today, they're available any Sunday. I encourage you, come forward for healing. Ask God to bring a touch, bring healing life to your body. But I want to pray over two areas right now. First, I want to pray if you need to know Jesus, if you need that spiritual healing, the spiritual condition to be transformed, that you would no longer be lost, you would no longer be restless, you would no longer be bound by cycles of sin, but you'd be set free by the love and the mercy of God, made available to us because of Jesus' death on the cross. The second area I want to pray over is those that you just may need a healing in your soul from God. You may have never even heard about that before. But I want to tell you, one of the promises, Jesus, in fact, his last supper he's having with the disciples, he's just going on and on and on about who and what the Holy Spirit will do. And one of the things the Holy Spirit will do is lead us into all truth, knowing who we are created to be. And not only that, the Holy Spirit brings a peace that passes all understanding. And the Holy Spirit comforts the brokenhearted. So we're going to do those two prayers. And the first is if you need to just what we call being born again, giving your life to Christ, I'd love it if we'd just close our eyes, bow our heads for this brief moment. God, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you that, Lord, your word says you are the healer. And Lord, I speak that out this morning. I thank you that you are the healer, God. And if you're here today needing for the forgiveness and the mercy and the saving grace of God, I wanted to let you know it is freely made available to you. There's nothing you can do, no way you can earn it, no striving can ever reach it. It's the gift of God's grace unto us, made available through Jesus Christ. I want to lead you in a simple prayer that you can make that decision to follow him. Say this with me. Heavenly Father, I need your mercy. Forgive me of my sin. I repent of my ways. I'm turning my back on my past. And I'm living for you. I call you Lord and Savior, King of Kings. Have my life, God. I receive your mercy and your forgiveness. And I believe I am born again. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take a moment and pray. Just that second prayer, I'm going to pray for you. Just in the stillness for a brief moment here, just search your heart. Are you feeling discouraged? Are you feeling overwhelmed? Are you feeling anxious this morning? Are you just feeling sad? Let's just shoot straight. I don't know if you know that. You're allowed to have those emotions. God gave them as a gift to you. Maybe you're just feeling like there's something from your past that you just can't seem to get over. Come on, I just want to pray for you and that God would just bring healing to your soul. Lord, I thank you. Holy Spirit, I welcome you. I pray that you would heal every broken heart this morning, that you would encourage the discouraged, God, that you'd bring freedom for those that are feeling trapped, that, Lord, you'd bring hope for the anxious, strength for the weak. And, Lord, just as your word says, you would bring your anointing, God, for the heart living in pain. We thank you that you are God, our healer. We thank you that you came from heaven to earth. We love you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much for listening this morning. Let's prepare our hearts for communion.
Our community at Hillside Church aims to reach people and build lives with the life-changing message of Jesus. Thank you for your support. If you want to further connect with us, please visit our website, hillsidechurch.us. God bless.